Welcome to our deep dive into the world of injection molding. You sent over some pretty cool stuff, actually, about how they make all those everyday plastic things we kind of take for granted.
Absolutely. We're going to break it all down for you, from analyzing a product's design all the way to, like, the insane precision that goes into making the molds themselves.
Yeah, the sources were really big on product analysis as, like, that first step. Figuring out things like where to split the mold so you can actually get the part out.
Yeah.
It's got to be way more than just splitting the mold, though.
Oh, yeah, it's way more.
Right.
Think of it like planning a whole city.
Okay.
You got to figure out the whole layout, right? So in this case, it's like the cavity arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how many parts you're making at once.
Okay.
And where they fit in the mold.
Gotcha.
But it's also about, like, thinking ahead and trying to see problems before they happen.
Okay, so, like, traffic jams and power outages in our city analogy.
Exactly. Imagine you're making a phone case.
Okay.
That's got that little lip around the edge.
Yeah.
If the plastic doesn't, like, flow perfectly into that thin little lip when it's molding, you could end up with, like, a weak spot or even a gap.
Oh, yeah.
And just, like, a city planner thinks about how much the ground might settle.
Uh-huh.
We have to account for shrinkage.
Okay.
Because different plastics shrink different amounts when they cool down.
Mm.
And that can really mess with the final dimensions of the part.
So you're telling me there's, like, serious math happening here.
Oh, yeah. Tons.
Even before we even get to the mold making.
Absolutely. And the coolest part.
Yeah.
We actually use super powerful 3D software to model all of this.
Oh, wow.
It's like building a virtual prototype.
Okay.
So we can try out all kinds of different designs
mm-hmm.
and catch any of those problems, like, way before we go and spend all the money to make a steel mold.
I bet that saves a lot of headaches.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so we've got our virtual product all sorted.
Yep.
Time to make the blueprints.
We call them engineering drawings, and they have to be super precise.
Yeah.
Like, every dimension, even the tiniest little curve or angle, has to be, like, specified down to a fraction of a millimeter.
Wow.
It's basically like the recipe for the mold maker, you know,
yeah.
Telling them exactly how to make the mold.
That level of detail is crazy. I mean,
it is.
I'm guessing you're not just handing them, like, a printout, though, right? The sources mentioned 3D software being used here, too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. We send the mold maker a digital 3D model of the mold itself.
Yeah.
And they use their own special software to program the machines that actually cut the metal.
Gotcha. So it's all digital.
Yeah. It's like a digital handshake between the designer and the person making the mold.
I like that. Okay. So choosing the right material must be a pretty big deal too, right?
Huge.
Kind of like picking the right building materials for our city.
Exactly. It's like choosing the right fabric for a suit.
Okay.
You need to consider the properties.
Yeah.
Does it need to be, like, flexible, like a yoga mat or taut, like a helmet?
Right.
You know, the sources mentioned ABS plastic a lot. It's really strong and it can take a beating.
Mm-hmm.
So it's used for tons of stuff, like Lego bricks.
Oh, wow.
Even car parts. But right. For something see-through, like, you'd want polycarbonate,
right.
Which is used in eyeglasses and water bottles.
Gotcha.
And then there's nylon if you need something super strong
mm-hmm.
and heat resistant, like for gears and engine parts.
So each plastic has its own, like, personality and superpowers.
You could say that, yeah.
It's amazing how many different kinds there are.
It is.
Okay, so we've got our virtual product, materials all picked out.
Right.
Blueprints are ready.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it's time to make the mold.
Hold on. Not so fast.
Ooh.
Before we get to the actual mold itself, we have to design, like, the mold structure.
Okay.
And that's a whole other world of complexity.
Okay, now you get me hooked.
It's like designing the most efficient little factory you can imagine, but, like, on a tiny scale.
I'm listening.
We're talking about the mold itself being a totally intricate piece of engineering.
Okay, break it down for me.
Think back to our city analogy.
Okay.
You wouldn't just, like, randomly plot buildings down, would you?
Right.
You'd want to make sure traffic flows smoothly,
okay.
Make sure all the utilities are connected,
yeah.
And not waste any space.
Makes sense.
It's the same with a mold.
Yep.
The arrangement of all those cavities,
right.
How many parts we're making at once, and how they all fit together,
yeah.
That has a huge impact on how well the plastic fills the mold and how quickly it cools down.
So a well-designed mold can actually make things faster.
Exactly.
And maybe even cheaper.
And cheaper, yeah. It's all about efficiency.
I'm starting to see how, like, every little detail really matters here.
Every single one. And here's where it gets even cooler.
Okay.
We have to think about the mold's plumbing, so to speak.
Plumbing?
Yeah. All those channels that let the melted plastic flow in and the air escape.
Okay.
It's not just an empty space, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a whole system designed for perfect flow.
Right.
I can't believe how much thought goes into something that most people will never even see.
It's amazing, right?
It is.
And it's not just about filling the mold, it's about cooling it down too.
That.
The sources mention something called spiral cooling pathways.
Spiral cooling pathways.
Yeah, it's wild. There are these super carefully designed channels that circulate coolant all around the mold cavities.
So it's like a high-tech AC system for the plastic.
You got it. The faster and more evenly the plastic cools down, the faster we can make the parts
Okay.
and with fewer defects.
Wow, that's fascinating.
It is.
Okay, so we've got the flow optimized,
Yep.
the cooling's all taken care of.
Right.
I'm guessing there's more to this mold structure than just those two things, though,
Oh,
right?
yeah. There's still the big question getting the finished part out of the mold,
Oh, right,
which
yeah.
can get surprisingly tricky,
Really?
especially with complex shapes. Imagine trying to get a perfectly formed ice cube tray out of a mold without breaking anything.
Yeah, good luck with that.
That's kind of the same idea here. Okay.
We use these really clever mechanisms built right into the mold, like sliders and ejector pins. They basically push the part out gently without messing it up.
It's like a tiny little robot arm working inside the mold.
Exactly. So we've designed the product,
Yeah.
carefully planned out the whole mold, even figured out how to get the part out.
Okay, so now things are about to get real.
We're moving from the digital world into the real world.
Okay.
The next step is mold manufacturing, where those digital blueprints become actual steel.
From bits to atoms.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear about how they actually make these intricate designs into real physical molds.
Well, that's where the precision machining comes in.
Okay.
They use these computer-controlled machines that are so precise,
Wow.
they can carve out the mold cavity down to like thousandths of an
It
inch.
must take some serious skill to operate those machines.
Oh, yeah. Mold makers are true artisans. They're basically translating our digital designs into real-world objects. And they don't just cut the mold cavity. You know, they're also making all those cooling channels and sliders and ejector pin mechanisms we talked about.
Right.
It's like building a 3D puzzle, but with incredible
So
precision.
this is where quality control comes in.
Big time, yeah. Every surface, every dimension has to be checked meticulously.
The sources were really big on that, making sure everything's perfect at this stage.
It's super important because even the tiniest little flaw in the mold will show up in every single part it makes.
That makes sense.
It's like a cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Any imperfection in the cutter will mess up the shape of every cookie you make.
Okay, so once the mold has passed inspection,
Yep.
it's ready for its big debut.
Almost. Just like a play needs a dress rehearsal, a brand new mold needs a trial run.
Okay.
We call it mold trial and acceptance.
Mold trial and acceptance. I'm really curious about this step. What actually happens during a trial run? Do you just press go and hope for the best?
Well, it's a bit more involved than that.
I figured.
We take that brand new mold and install it in the injection molding machine. Then we have to fine-tune all the process parameters, like the temperature of the plastic, the injection pressure, how long the plastic is held under pressure, and the cooling time.
I bet that's where all that experience really comes into play, knowing how to tweak all those settings to get the perfect result.
It is a bit of an art combined with science. We're looking for that sweet spot, you
Yeah.
know, where the plastic fills the mold perfectly,
Right.
cools evenly, and comes out cleanly without any warping or defects.
And I'm guessing sometimes things don't go exactly according to plan.
It happens.
What happens if you run into problems during the trial run?
That's where the real troubleshooting skills come in.
Okay.
We analyze the defects, adjust the parameters, sometimes even have to modify the mold itself to fix the problem.
So it's like solving a puzzle.
Exactly. And it's super satisfying when you finally get that perfect part.
I bet it sounds like it takes a real team effort between the designers, the mold makers, and the people running the trials.
It really does. And it's pretty amazing to see what can be accomplished when everyone works together like that.
Yeah, it is. I can already tell this deep dive is giving me a whole new appreciation for all those everyday plastic things I usually don't even think twice about.
It's a whole hidden world out there.
It really is.
And we've only just scratched the surface.
I can't wait to dive in deeper.
Yeah.
But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's take a quick pause and pick up right where we left off after a short break. Okay, we're back, and I'm still thinking about all the work that goes into designing and testing these molds,
Yeah, it's a lot.
like a whole secret world of precision and engineering.
It is. But before the break, you were saying there's even more to the story.
There is. So we've talked about how to create the perfect part,
Right.
but what happens next?
Good question.
That's where data organization comes in.
Okay.
It might not sound as exciting as designing a mold or anything,
Right.
but it's super important for success in the long run.
You know what? The sources actually made a big deal about that.
It's like, why go through all that trouble to make this awesome process if you don't learn from it?
Exactly. You want to be able to use that knowledge again for future projects.
So you're talking about keeping really detailed records.
Yep. Every aspect of the mold, like the design and the materials, the settings from the trial run, and any changes you made along the way.
That's a ton of information.
It is, but it's super valuable.
So we're not talking about like dusty old filing cabinets here, are we? How do companies actually keep track of all this stuff?
Luckily, technology has come a long way.
I was going to say.
The sources talked about something called PLM systems.
PLM?
Yeah, it stands for Product Lifecycle Management.
Okay.
It's basically like having a digital twin of every mold with all its history and specs and performance data.
So if you need to make a change to the design like 5 years down the road, you've got everything right there.
Exactly. It's like a cheat sheet for success based on real world experience.
That's awesome.
Okay.
So let's zoom out for a sec. We started with just a concept. Then we made a detailed design, created a super precise mold, tested it like crazy, and documented every step.
Yep.
We've basically covered the entire life of an injection molded part.
We have, and I think it's safe to say it's way more complex than most people realize.
You're telling me. The next time I pick up like a plastic water bottle, I'm going to be thinking about everything that went into making it.
It's true. Injection molding is everywhere, but we hardly ever stop to think about how it actually works.
Right.
One thing that really stood out to me from the sources is how much planning goes into it. It's a process where every little detail matters.
Yeah. There's no room for error if you want a high quality product.
Nope.
It seems like every choice you make, like where to put a parting line or how to design the cooling system, can have ripple effects throughout the whole process.
Exactly. And those little decisions can have a big impact on how efficient and cost effective the whole thing is.
Right. So like when we were talking about the mold structure and how the cavities are arranged, that's like a giant puzzle where things like the number of cavities, their placement, like which way the product is facing in the mold, can really affect how long it takes to make each part.
Right. And that all adds up to the cost of the final product.
Yeah, it's all connected.
It's like a balancing act. You want to make as many parts as possible with each cycle.
Right.
But you also need to make sure the plastic flows smoothly and cools down properly.
It's like a perfectly choreographed dance.
That's a great way to put it.
You know, one thing the sources mentioned that I thought was super interesting was the exhaust system.
Yeah.
I never would have thought that something like venting air would be so important.
Oh, it's critical.
Really?
The exhaust system is what prevents problems like burn marks or incomplete fills.
Okay.
Remember when that hot plastic gets injected into the mold? There's already air inside.
Rah.
And if we don't get rid of that air, it can get trapped and create all sorts of defects.
So it's like making escape routes for the air.
Exactly. We have to vent the air strategically as the plastic fills the mold.
Gotcha.
So it can flow evenly.
I'm telling you, the amount of thought that goes into every little part of this process is just amazing.
It is. It's a testament to the ingenuity and problem-solving skills of everyone involved.
We're talking about something that happens in like milliseconds.
I know.
Yet every millisecond is planned out.
It's wild.
Yeah.
And it's a field that's always changing, you know, driven by innovation and this constant desire to get things perfect.
Yeah, the sources were really big on that. They talked a lot about 3D software for design and simulation and all these fancy data management systems.
Right.
And how are all those advances shaping the industry?
Well, for one thing, technology is letting us design way more complex parts.
Really?
Yeah, we can make molds with really intricate features and shapes now, stuff that would have been impossible to make a few years ago. And simulation software lets us test and optimize those designs virtually before we even start cutting the mold.
Okay.
So we can save a lot of time and money.
So it's like we're taking those virtual prototypes from earlier and putting them through boot camp.
Exactly. We can simulate how the plastic will flow, how it will cool, even how the part will bend under pressure.
That's pretty cool.
It is. It lets us find potential problems and fix the design before we commit to building a real mold.
And all this is happening before you even make the actual mold.
Yep. It's all about being prepared.
And it's not just about design, right? They also talked about advancements in the materials themselves.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Are there new plastics coming out that give you even more options?
All the time we're seeing new plastics that are stronger, more flexible, more heat resistant, even conductive.
Wow.
There are plastics that can handle super high temperatures, plastics that are as clear as glass, even plastics that change color depending on the temperature.
That's wild.
Yeah.
It's amazing how versatile plastic is.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so with all this talk of innovation and new materials, I'm wondering, are there any limits to what you can do with injection molding? Is there anything that just can't be made this way?
That's a great question. While injection molding is super versatile, it's not magic.
Right.
There are some limits based on how the plastic flows and cools in the mold.
Okay.
Like undercuts or really complicated interlocking shapes can be tough to mold.
So like those impossible shapes you see in optical illusions.
Exactly. But even with those limits, engineers are always finding clever ways to push the boundaries.
So they're always finding a workaround.
Yep. They might design molds that have multiple parts that fit together.
Okay.
Or use flexible inserts that can be removed after the part is done.
So it's a constant back and forth between what the material can do and the creativity of the engineers.
Exactly. They're always trying to make the impossible possible.
I like that. Yeah. Okay, so shape can be a limitation. What about size?
Size is a factor too. Mm. Injection molding works best for parts that are on the smaller side.
So I couldn't injection mold a whole car.
Well, you could technically mold individual car parts.
Right.
But making a whole car in one piece?
Yeah.
Probably not going to happen with today's technology.
That makes sense. Okay, so size and shape are things to consider. Are there any limits in terms of how many parts you can make?
Yeah, that's another important factor. Injection molding is really a mass production process.
Okay.
Designing and making the mold can be expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It makes the most sense when you're making thousands or even millions of parts.
So if I just wanted to make one unique custom part,
yeah,
injection molding wouldn't be the way to go.
Probably not. There are other methods like 3D printing that are better for small batches or one-offs.
It sounds like picking the right manufacturing process depends on a lot of things.
It does.
Like the design, the material, how many parts you need to make, and of course the budget.
Exactly. You've got to choose the right tool for the job.
And injection molding is a pretty powerful tool.
It is. It's how we make so many of the things we use every day. It's true. Speaking of tools, the sources really emphasize how important experience and expertise are in this field.
Definitely.
It's not enough to just have the right machines and software.
Yep.
You have to know how to use them.
Exactly. A skilled mold designer can look at a product and just know how to mold it. They can see potential problems right away and figure out how to design around them.
Wow.
It's a mix of art and science. You need creativity and technical knowledge. And that's where all that knowledge from past projects comes in handy.
For sure.
Being able to learn from your experience.
Yep.
So you don't make the same mistakes again.
Exactly. And as technology keeps advancing, all that data becomes even more important.
That makes sense.
We're already seeing things like artificial intelligence and machine learning being used in injection molding.
Oh, wow.
Imagine a system that looks at your design and suggests improvements based on millions of other projects.
That sounds like something out of the future.
It's getting closer all the time. And that's what's so exciting about this field. It's always evolving.
It's always finding ways to get better.
Exactly. Right. Always pushing for more efficiency and perfection.
It's really inspiring to hear how passionate you are about all
this. Yeah.
You know, we've talked a lot about the technical stuff.
Yeah.
But we haven't really touched on something that's becoming super important.
What's that?
Sustainability.
Right. That's a big one. And it's something the industry is taking very seriously.
With so much plastic being produced, we have to think about the environment.
Yeah.
And find ways to make the process more sustainable.
Absolutely. So what are some of the things being done to address that?
Yeah. The sources mentioned using recycled plastics.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing there's more to it than that.
There is a lot happening on different fronts.
Yeah.
Using recycled plastic is definitely key.
Ah.
Because it means we don't have to use as much new material.
Right.
And it helps keep plastic out of landfills.
It seems like everyone wins that way.
Yeah.
It's good for the planet.
Yep.
And it makes sense economically.
Exactly. And we're also seeing progress with biodegradable and compostable plastics.
Oh, wow. So those would be even more sustainable.
They would, because they can break down naturally in the environment.
So less plastic waste ending up in landfills in the ocean.
Exactly. It's a big step forward.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Are those new materials as versatile as regular plastics?
Well, they're not quite there yet for every application.
Okay.
But we're seeing some promising developments with bioplastics that can actually rival the performance of traditional plastics.
Even for things like car parts.
Even for tough applications like that.
That's great to hear. So it sounds like the future of injection molding is about more than just efficiency and innovation.
It is.
It's also about being responsible.
Absolutely. We have a chance to create a future where plastic isn't seen as a problem,
mm,
but as a valuable resource that can be used sustainably.
I like that. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
We've learned about all the details of mold design, the importance of planning and attention to detail, and all the cool possibilities that are coming up.
It's an exciting time for sure.
We've seen how this process affects our lives.
Yeah.
Creating the products we use every day.
From simple toys to complex medical devices.
And we've learned that it's a field that never stands still.
Yeah.
It's always innovating.
Always striving for perfection.
But it's also facing the challenges of sustainability and responsibility head on.
That's right. Before we wrap things up, I want to leave you with this thought.
Oh.
The next time you see a plastic product,
uh-huh.
no matter how simple or ordinary it might seem,
yeah.
take a minute to think about how it got there.
Okay.
From the ideas of the designers to the skill of the people who make the molds.
Hmm.
It's a story of human collaboration and innovation.
That's a great way to put it. Okay, on that note, we'll take a quick break and come back with our final thoughts in just a minute. Don't go anywhere. And we're back. I have to say my mind is officially blown. This whole deep dive into injection molding has like totally changed how I look at plastic.
I bet it's a whole different world, right?
It is. I mean, what we think of as like simple everyday objects are actually the result of this crazy complex process.
It's true. There's so much more to it than meets the eye.
And what I find really cool is that it's not like a done deal. You know, with all the advances in materials and technology and this whole push for sustainability, it feels like injection molding is constantly evolving.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a dynamic industry. There's always pressure to create better products more efficiently and more sustainably.
And who knows what's next? Like, imagine plastics that can do things we haven't even thought of yet.
That's what's so exciting about this field. The possibilities are endless.
It's like something out of a science fiction movie. What if we had, like, self-healing plastics?
Or plastics that can conduct electricity.
That would be wild.
Yeah.
I mean, are those even possible?
You'd be surprised. Researchers are working on some pretty crazy stuff right now.
That's awesome. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one thing you want our listeners to remember about injection molding?
I think it's how interconnected everything is. From the very beginning when you're analyzing the product to the final trial run, each step has an impact on the next.
It's like a chain reaction.
Exactly. It's this delicate balance of precision material science and problem solving.
And that's how we end up with the products we use every single day.
Yeah.
Without even really thinking about it.
It's true. It's a hidden world of ingenuity, and it deserves way more recognition.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
So the next time you pick up something plastic, take a minute to appreciate the journey it took to get there.
From the designers who dreamed it up to the mold makers who brought it to life, it's a testament to human creativity and collaboration.
Beautifully said. And on that note, we'll leave you to explore the world of plastics with a fresh perspective. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.